Blog Talk Radio.
This is Kelly Jo Monahan, your host for Biscuit and Tea Mistake. We're going to have a fun show tonight. I have my friend Dorothy Holder here. She's from Energy Therapies, and she's a wonderful reader and friend. We're going to do aura readings tonight. And I also want to let you know that I'll be at a fair over in Sarasota Saturday and Sunday, so come join us here. And I'm going to bring Miss Dorothy on now. Good evening.
Hello. I dived on in there a bit quick. Sorry about that.
Oh, you're fine. So,
That's good.
I'm really happy to have you on here. And I want you to tell them a little bit about what you do and where you're from.
Okay. Well, I'm from New Zealand, and that's where the accent comes from. And, of course, I always say we don't have an accent. Everybody else does, right? That's what we say, because there's nearly 4.5 million of us, so we've got to be right. So there's that whole Of course. There's that 4.5 million, such a big number, right? There's the this aura reading came from I started a shop in 1996, somewhere there. And I sold crystals and I sold, you know, the usual fare, books, especially books were my passion. I also paint, and that's part of the story really, because I started painting and I paint a lot of portraits. I'm a professional artist. And I'd started doing that when my daughter was born 22 years ago. So these two things come into play for how the aura reading got underway. And I started really by being attuned to Satium, to master teacher level. And then, of course, I went and did some Reiki and got to master teacher level. And then I went and did Aquarian and Phoenix healing and got to master teacher level. All of those sort of showed me that there's like this huge amount of vibrational frequency that makes up humanity, that makes up the universe, and you can't attune to all of them, I discovered. So
no,
I started
you'd blow
really
up.
You'd blow up, exactly. I'd be everything all at once. Would that be just phenomenal? You know, I'd be a universe. I'd be five universes. I'd
be
all
a supernova.
A supernova. So when I'd completed a few years of playing around with that, during that time, of course, and I aligned myself to New Zealand earth energies, which I still do for others, skills develop. You know, that's just a natural side effect of doing that kind of work. And I was seeing things already, but then I started, I had always been interested in the aura, but I couldn't see it, and I certainly didn't think I was reading it or didn't know anything about it. I'd just get glimpses of visions, and then I would relate that to a person who wanted a reading. I must admit I was unsatisfied with that. I didn't like the haphazard quality of that, and I had guides and all the usual stuff. And then the interest in the aura became so strong that I decided to buy an aura camera for my shop, which was a large, large business. And I bought the aura camera, and then in the shop itself, it really wasn't getting as much of a workout as I like. So I thought I'd start going to shows, big shows, not psychic fairs, but Girls Day Out, places where 11,000 people come through a day, you know. And when I started doing these sort of shows, I was just really reading the meanings from the instructional material, which is what most aura photographers do, by the way. And so I was happy to do that. But I realized when I was doing such volumes, you know, when I was doing on average 50 readings a day for a whole 3 or 4 or 5 day show every day, I'd have these cues. I realized that there were a lot of similarities in that style of reading and knew that there had to be more to it. And so I didn't deliberately seek more, but intentionally I did, if you know what I mean. Inside myself,
yeah.
I was like, there's got to be more to this. Yellow can't just be that. Yellow with a bit of green can't just be that. It was too narrow for the amount of readings I was doing. And I started noticing that I would do things like, because that instant film, right? So you take your photo and you've got to wait that 5 minutes for it to develop. And so to kill that time, I would normally start doing other types of reading. Then I realized I would start doing this reading about the colors around them, even though I didn't think I could see it. And I'd strip the photo thing off and I'd see the colors I was talking about. And then secondarily, I thought that was precognition, that it's developing in there and that I was actually reading what was going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
I could already do that. So it wasn't like that was a surprise or reading the aura for me, but more reading what that photo is going to be and taking what I know that to mean. And then I started doing something different. This is over a few years. You know, it happened not within an instant, probably about 18 months actually. And then I noticed that I would say, you see this purple over here? I'd be showing them the photo and I'd say, see this purple over here? And they'd look at me and go, no, I can't see that purple. And I'd like, are you sure you can't see it? Because I can see it. And they go, no, I can only see this and this and this. And that's when I realized I was actually seeing colors that weren't in the photo. And I was seeing them around the part of the body. And then it developed from there that I could see the aura around the person themselves without the photo, and eventually got rid of the camera because I found it limiting. Once I could do that, I could see this whole range of colors and vibrations and frequencies. I could see them inside the body. I could see them outside the body. I could see them interacting with each other. I could see them inside the chakras and in the organs themselves. I could see different colors in parts of an organ. So it got really very specific and very defined. And so that was pretty much the start of it. And at that point, I would have a, it was before the big computer era, so I would have a picture, like a line drawing of a person, and then I would use colouring pencils to colours in the places that I saw them. So it still didn't really work the way that I would like it to work. I do have a YouTube channel. People can pop along there. This isn't just a promo, but I have on my Energy Therapies YouTube channel, or Dorothy Holder, both of those work, you'll see the aura readings. I do videos, so you can actually see them. So I spent years trying to make it as close in the videos or in a GIF or in a picture with computer help, of course. I'm making these animated GIFs, if you like, with a person's photo and the aura moving in motion around it. And that's about as close as I can get it to what I see. And that drove me for ages. Make it, I want you to see as much as I can show you of what I see, you know. And you can't show it all, but that gets about as close as, as I could. Thank you. So I love doing that, and that's where the painting part and all of that comes into it. The colour knowledge, which I've learnt through painting, all comes into play for describing the complexities of shades, which matter big time, and the complexities of contrast and complementary colours. All of that colour technology, which I've learnt for art, actually comes into play when working with the meanings of colours, the distinction between just, say, a magenta with a crimson or a rose to a lilac kind of a thing. You know, it's that a lilac to a mauve, there's a difference, it's a red-blue difference. And so understanding those helps me be very specific, I suppose, about the colours that I see. So it's fun. I like it. I like seeing aura. Yeah.
In your work, did you find a lot of patterns that occur through doing it for many years?
There's definitely patterns. It's certainly it's a lot like a doctor, I guess, where, you know, if you've got a cut, you've got a cut. And if it's clean, it's clean. And if it's infected, it's infected. And because a doctor's seen that, because we've all seen that, so we all recognise that pattern, it goes red around the outside, right? If it's inflamed, gets a bit swollen, the colour of it changes. All of that stuff, the colour of your skin, your eyes, they change when you've got an infection in your body. So the aura is the same. It's incredibly complex. I'm not going to pretend it isn't. I've got a warning, if you like. You know, whenever I hear a psychic saying your aura is red, I'm dismissing that person out of hand, because they're not saying I see red in your aura. They're saying your aura is red. And I've never seen a single colour ever. I've never just seen one or two colours ever. There's always a myriad of colours in different parts of the body. But I am very aware that a specific colour, if it's causing an issue for a person, is very often what I call loud, you know, so somebody else will pick that up. And that's how other people read our aura, even though we don't know they're doing it. We all read aura. We're just a subconscious reader, if you like, and I'm a conscious reader. How's that?
Yes, I agree.
Pretty much.
Changes. As I notice, it changes. It can be like the aurora borealis and change.
Well, it's shifting, but changing is a subjective question, and I'm glad you mentioned that one, because actually you've got layers in your aura. We hear the word layers, and it's not like the layers we see, but it's the only way to depict it, you know, in a diagram or whatever, or to describe it. But in actual fact, the aura is shifting and moving, because you have that emotional state which changes. And if, for example, a person who goes to work will carry like what I call their work colours, if you like, and then they go home and then they have their home colours. Some people don't change between those two environments, but a lot of people do. And so that's why you can see somebody out of their workspace, if you've only ever seen them in their workspace, and it takes you a few seconds to recognise them, because we don't just see a visage, we see energy as well. So we are looking at a whole complete person, even though we're not physically seeing their aura. And when it looks different, we actually have trouble recognizing their face. It's kind of a fascinating thing, but it's true.
Totally agree.
There's a personality. Sorry?
I said I totally agree with you.
Right. And there's a personality we have. Everybody has a personality. Now, that color, part of your color arrangement, if you like, is more internal. It's closer to the body, very much often seen inside the body. That doesn't change very much over a lifetime. The aspects can alter. You can get rid of something that's traumatic, or you can hold it forever. But it's the sort of thing that's what we find hard to change. You know, that thing around about ourselves, a person who's angry, for example, for 40 years, finds that a very hard thing to change, and to move it out of your energy takes some serious work, whether that's hypnotherapy, whether that's energetic work, a combination of both, whether it's counselling, whatever that might be. It's not so easy. That's seeable and it's visible in the aura. Just the same as if you go and you cut yourself badly, like really badly 20 years ago, if that completely heals in every way possible, it's not going to be seen much in the aura in the future, if at all. But if there's internal damage that couldn't be repaired, then that will always be seen in the aura till the day you die. So it scars, if you like.
Like a memory.
Well, it's more than a memory. If somebody's cut you open, you know, and,
right.
and you've lost a bit of bone, or your muscle could never be quite the same again. You have like deep scarring into your internal organs. If somebody's lost a bit of their pancreas or their stomach or whatever, you know, through surgery, that will be forever an anomaly when you look at that person's aura. Just as if you took their clothes off, you might see the scar on their body. Yeah.
Yes.
So it's that same thing. Yeah.
Wow.
So the whole aura doesn't change all your life. So we've got a basic personality structure to our energy, and the aura emits from the cells. That's your body's cells. So it's emitting little wee tiny, every cell emits a really tiny light package, which is now electronically measurable, by the way. But they're so tiny. They're very, very light. They're very, very slender. And so it's a grouping of them. Like you have X amount of millions of cells in your body, in say your liver or your kidney or whatever, and they emit light as a whole group because they've all got a single
right.
job. They're the same type of cell. And so your liver emits frequencies and takes frequencies that your kidney does not or your stomach does not, if that makes sense. So that breaks your aura down into quite a significant expression of who you are as a person. So unless you're going to take all of that and break it down, then your base aura that's emitting from these cells is going to show me how you will respond to things, which is how we can read the future. What kind of things attract you and you, what you don't like, personality traits in particular, as you're looking at, say, for example, if I'm looking at two people, your aura goes out, this comes in, you meet in the middle, and then you share. Basically, it comes through your body. All energy comes through your body, no matter what it is. And so how your energy reacts to that will tell me whether that's a go-ahead or it's going to be a stop, or whether it's not going to work, or it's going to be easy or a difficult relationship. Same with environment. So it's pretty much everything, because we are interacting with everything. Now, science proved that in the 90s, that there's this quote-unquote gray substance. They now know that we're talking about something called neutrinos. And neutrinos are information things, literally particles that go floating through the air 24/7 through us, through our bodies, and emitted through us. So that they travel, they're not from us, but as they come through us, they pick up information about us, and that goes out with our light energy, with our auric energy. And that light energy carries on through everything. So mine's going to go through a bus I can see, then it's going to, you know, and it's going to go sideways, it's going to go through pahutukawa trees and so on and so on. And it can reach anybody anywhere in the world, which is how you can distance read people.
Right.
So it's exciting, exciting stuff.
Awesome. Well, we have a caller on the line. Would you like to talk to her?
Sure. Let's do that.
Okay. Hello, caller. What's your name?
Hello. My name is Liz.
Hi, Liz. I have Dorothy here.
Hi, Liz.
Read your aura.
Okay. Hi, Dorothy.
Hello there, Liz. I'll just do a little general thing, and then if you've got any questions, fire them out there. The first thing that's really noticeable for me is there's a rose, and it sits, a rose colour that is, and it sits quite heavily on your right shoulder, and in particular, right above that bony bit of a joint where the arm meets the shoulder itself. There's that little bony bit, there's a little bit tender there. So that suggests to me, it's got a dark grey tinge just around the edges of it, and it suggests that you do take other people's burdens on as your own. It could be a person, or it could be in life in general, but you will worry about something that you quite often have no power over because it's somebody else's problem or somebody else's thing, if that makes sense to you at all. I have it creeping down. Sorry?
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Because sometimes I'm not sure if I have a delay or not because I'm so far away, and I do get a delay sometimes. So if I hear any kind of blip, I go, oh. It floats down a little bit into your throat, and it turns into this really golden, orangey kind of an energy thing. So you really like your words to matter to others. It's very important to you that you are heard, that people listen to you when you speak. So you will get hurt or upset or frustrated if you think they're being dismissive. You may get defensive if you think that they are patronizing you or looking down on you in some way. I think probably the worst thing on the planet for you would be to feel stupid, you know, to feel embarrassed or to feel that you've said something that other people see as silly or foolish. So you may hold your words rather than share them in certain environments. But at the same time, there's a lot of wisdom and transformation in this. So it means that you're probably very, very good at telling other people the right way to do things, if that makes sense. Not just guidance, that's a bit of a loose term for what I'm talking about here. So you're quick to see solutions to problems. You're quick and creative at a way to resolve it, but they may not be able to see that necessarily because you're going to always come up with something that's fairly unique. You're going to come up with something that's maybe nobody's thought of. You know, it's one of those things. It would make you great for like a problem-solving book or here's a new way to deal with your life kind of a thing. You know, I've got the answer here. Come on, people. Listen to me. It's that kind of wonderful energy, but it isn't necessarily received well, not because there's anything wrong with it, but because it is different. So when you hear a person or see a person doing the same thing that you've seen 1,000 times, your solution for that person will be different to what it was for the person before. You would align. You would see what they can and can't do and very quickly know that they can transform something. But for them, they need to do it this way. If that all makes sense for you, now we move. It's just from that shoulder to the throat. That's not your whole life, but it's definitely a part of it. I have got pressure pushing up into the bottom of your jaw from your throat as well. It's almost like a spearhead of energy. And it's like, you know, that soft bit at the bottom of your, at the top of your throat and under your jaw, at the bottom of your palate. That soft bit there pushes straight through into that, and it's a really dark green. So you may obsess on details when people are talking to you. If they don't quite know what they're talking about, or even if you're reading, you know, in general, if you're reading an article, if they make a mistake on things, you'd notice that, which would make you a good editor. So you'd notice mistakes and you'd notice things that were inconsistent. So that's your gift, if you like. It sounds terrible, but it's almost a Virgo energy of spot the mistake. Oh, I can see the inconsistencies here. Those two things, that orange transformative energy and that working together, are actually super problem-solving energies, which are powerful. And I think for the main part, it's just finding the right outlet for them, the best way to use those rather than trying to hold your tongue or trying to not upset people, whatever way you limit that, if you limit it, I would let go of that completely. Now, I've also got around the back of your neck, and we're still all around your neck and shoulders, so that means you're cerebral. You tend to be in your head a lot. It also means that you're very responsible and loyal. By the way, that's the head. Not good at asking for help. Or not liking to ask for help. And when you get it, you may sort of like brush it off fairly quickly if you can, or overcompensate as a repayment. You know, if somebody gives you an apple, you might give them a 3-course meal, for example. Does that sound like you? Quite an interesting energy, that one. It's quite good fun. So I'll give you an apple when I meet you, okay? I'd really love a 3-course meal. There's that wonderful energy. And when we've got it coming from behind, you know, around the back of the neck, that part that I'm talking about, that's the stuff that's always in the back of your throat, in the back of your mind, the things that you want to say, should say, would say. So you'd be quite prolific in wanting to put words out there, okay? I think I'm a talker, but I think you might compete. Normally, not today, but normally. So there's an interesting thing there. So you may type a lot, you may put a lot of words into the world, whether it's verbal or a combination of verbal and written. And I keep coming back to written for you because you've got busy hands, you like busy hands, and you may doodle anything to express. It's very important because you've got a lot of energy around that throat and around those shoulders. We've got a very pale yellow at the back of your throat. So you do look for the good things in situations too. So I think that's a really well-balanced throat chakra that you've got, that's got a lot of different aspects and qualities to it, which make you a careful speaker. They also mean that when you do say things. I think your voice is important to you, or your expression is important to you. So what you put out there, you try to make it the best, I suppose the words would, the best in any bad situation you'd want to put out there. A bad situation just gives you an opportunity to find a solution. A bad situation just gives you an opportunity to be optimistic. Do you know what I mean? So it's not a blind positivity, but it's a looking through of challenges. So it's a really considered energy. I really quite like it. It hasn't got the strong sort of limey green influence of, sagey wisdom as such, but it's in there. It's just not how you use things. You're very cerebral in your mind. If I've got a solution, it's because I've researched it, I understand it, and I know that I'm going to put it out there. Down to your right knee, I've got this amazing orange. I mean, really amazing. So you like to be creative, and this is your life direction and cooperation with yourself and others. It's not about marching to the beat of your own drum for you, and it's not about independence for you. It's about feeling that you've put something that's creative out into the world. I think you'd be bored really easily, you know? Does that sound right?
Yes.
With that, it's because, you know, a million people say the same thing, I guess, you know, and that's just blah after a while. We've also got, but you don't want to be part of that. And that's where this comes in for you, is that, yes, I see that. So I'm going to find a unique, and that's all that wonderful throat energy. I'm going to find a unique way to express that. Or I'm going to find the bit that other people haven't said around the same subject or whatever. So it's an interesting, wonderful energy. You'd want a paintbrush. You'd want something to be able to, you'd always be looking for ways to do this. That is a whole thing at the end, but it's exploring the bits, the hidden bits, what you didn't know I've got for you. So you'd be probably the queen of useless information. You know, it's like a little library in your brain just for stuff other people don't hear about or ignore, right? You'll remember that. You'll remember that little wee fact and haul it out at the party. Is that you?
Yes.
Yeah. So good though. You're so fun.
Nailed it.
We could trivia ourselves to death, you and I, if we were locked in the same room with a couple of cups of coffee, I tell you. It's like, have you heard? Oh yes, I have heard that, and that reminds me of
true fun.
Quite good fun. Now, I have got some energy around your toes that doesn't feel quite right. I think it's the right foot, but it's possible there's a niggle in both of them. It may be nerves. They may jump, or they may get hot or extra cold. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've got some. Okay.
Yeah.
It feels like nerves to me, like the nervous system. I don't mean nervousness. The nervous system to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's probably a release in the lower spine, to be honest. We're talking about the sciatic nerve. There's another nerve in there, though, that goes through the glutes and quite often gets mistaken for that. It can pull up and it'll feel like it's the back of the thigh, if it's that one.
Yes.
When you sometimes, yes, you get,
sciatic.
Is that the feeling you get with it?
Yes.
Well, no, I don't think it is. Sciatic is not usually there. There's two nerves that run through. I'm going to go and get this and send it to look at me go. I can't remember anybody's names all of a sudden. I'm going to send it to, whose show am I on?
Me, Kelly Jo.
Kelly Jo, I'm looking at your face and I know your name, and I'm so in her energy, in Liz's energy.
She might be
that
talking
about
Sartorius too, you know.
Sorry?
By the sacroiliac and all that.
Okay, there's another nerve that runs down the thighs, and it comes through the pelvis the same as sciatic.
Yes.
So I know the sciatic nerve blame. That's what I'm going to go find out. I do know it. I just can't pull it out right at the moment. So as soon as the show's finished, I'm going to go and send that to Kelly Jo, and if she can, I don't know if you're friends anywhere, but if you are, maybe she can get
I'll
it to
you. I'll write her number down, and I'll call her.
Okay. Perfect.
I want to thank you, Dorothy. We're getting ready to wind down. Time just flew by.
Oh,
and
you're
welcome. I want to thank you very much. And we will get that message to this lady here. And thank you for being here. And I wish you blessings, love, and light. And let's all pray in unity for our world.
Thank you.
And it's always a ball when we have you.
It's been wonderful. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. And remember, everyone, don't forget to pray for France, too.